Well, Stu, my first question for you is talk about what you currently have going on and talk about all the bands that you're involved in and what's currently going on with all of them.
Hey, Tony. Well, thanks, mate. It's always great to talk to you. And, as you know, for your listeners, if they don't know, we're good buddies and go way back musically as well. But what's happening with me? Right now, I'm in a band that I started called Night Legion. It's an all-Australian band that features myself from Dungeon and also another member from the band Dungeon. So I think this is kind of the first time in almost, 12 years that the two, actual Dungeon members have been in a band together in Australia, which is big for us. So that's kind of cool. It's also got the drummer from Blasted to Static, Clay T, and our singer is this phenomenal vocalist, a guy called Vo Simpson, who's in a band called Darker Half in Sydney. He's really quite an incredible vocalist. Sounds a lot like, for people that don't know him, sounds a lot like Halford meets Jeff Tate in his good period back in the old days. So he's a great kid, and he was a really big Dungeon fan. So it was fantastic for the little team to get together the way it has, and we've just announced our first debut show in Sydney. We're co-headlining actually a pretty prestigious metal festival here, which is great for us. The lineup is amazing, so it's going to be a really great event on the 29th of April. And that's the main thing at the front of my mind at the moment, and also working on the new Death Deal album. So I think, as I said to you offline, there's a ton of activity.
Obviously, as you know, I'm a huge fan of your work in Death Dealer. And talk about what's going on. What's going on with Death Dealer? Maybe talk about the next record that you guys are going to be putting out here hopefully soon.
Sure. So the Death Dealer album, number three, is almost complete from writing. So myself and Sean have worked over the last 6 months on that, and we're really happy with where all that's come to. So as soon as Ross comes off the road with his RTB band, we'll get Ross the Boss in the studio and record his parts. So that's coming together, and that's definitely going to be coming out this year. So, it's a definite blend of the first and second album vibes. And, we always try and present something a little fresh, of course. So, yeah, that's well developed.
Now, talk a little bit about Night Legion and the debut album you're going to be putting out. And, tell everybody, let's tell everybody a little bit about this upcoming debut album.
Sure. So the debut album will be called Night Legion. The killer thing for us is that it features artwork by a guy called Dusan Markovic, who, in my opinion, is the greatest fantasy artist alive today. He's just incredible, and I think he's outdone himself with the cover. So we've kept that a little bit under wraps at the moment because we're in negotiations with a couple of labels for release. Mm-hmm. So, labels do like to have control over some aspects of the art and when it's released. So as we go through those conversations, we're going to start talking about release dates. And right now, it's really just about who we go with. There's so many options available to bands now. You can actually run it yourself and still be highly successful with technology the way it is. So we're looking at what the labels are offering, whether we can do it ourselves is good. And, Death Dealer released the first album on our own, without a label, and it was tremendously received. So I'm really hoping for a July, August release. That's just how it feels in my bones. And can't wait to sort of get more of this material out. I'm sitting on it actually in the studio at the moment, making up some promotional videos and stuff, so I just can't wait to get more of this stuff out.
Stu, now a band that you formed and put a debut album out as well, debut self-titled album, Blasted to Static, and I thought it was a great record, and it didn't seem to really get as much recognition as I thought it should. And talk about that record for a little bit. Maybe tell the people that may not know about it, give them some details about the Blasted to Static album.
Sure. So the album for the band, it was a band actually, not so much a project that we thought it would be. It features Jeff Martin from Racer X, which, let's face it, if you love metal and you love shredding guitars, Racer X were the band back in the day. Mm-hmm. Cacophony were great as well, but Racer X had the songs, and they had Paul Gilbert, of course. So I've always wanted to work with Jeff on the Empires of Eden material, and how it came together was I simply reached out to Jeff and started talking to him about doing a deal for Empires, because you know, some people you got to pay. And he elected to do a deal with me where he'd do one song for the Empires album and four songs for my solo album. I had a solo album planned. And he got back to me and he said, man, these songs for your solo album, I'm loving them. Like, can we do a band? And so, you know, Jeff Martin says, can we do a band? You say yes.
Right.
So for me, it was an amazing situation. So I was able to get a great drummer from Sydney, Australia here called Clay T. He's a session player for Sony and whatnot. And then Jeff had his best friend, Rev Jones, who, you know, he's like Billy Sheehan on speed. And he said, let's do it. So we recorded the album. It was a very free-flowing process. Jeff's a real amazing creative soul. He's very, very strong with his vision. So it was nice for me sometimes just to hand over the wheel and take his direction. And I have that same kind of relationship with Sean. But with Jeff, his ideas are really, really quite wide. And, you know, he wants to do some 70s stuff and let's bring in some Beatles influence and, so that's kind of what formed a lot of that album, even though it is in-your-face shredding rock.
Right.
We really tried to infuse, like, there's mistakes all over that album. Like, technically, there's guitar fuck-ups everywhere. But Jeff said, just keep them, man. Just leave them in there. You know, that's how he started telling me about working with Jakey Lee and guys like that, but just, don't leave mistakes on albums, man. That's just, you know, as long as the vibe's right. And so that kind of gives you the flavor of where that project was. It was a very creative, free-flowing process. And I was shocked when the album all came together the way it did. You know, you listen to it with fresh ears and you get a different kind of vibe. So great band, great album. I'm really, really proud of it. And we did some shows in the States. We played the Whiskey and we played up towards San Francisco. So we're going to be doing album number two later this year. We had a really great deal with a good label. But it's just these days, you have to look at labels for touring support. You know, a tour is going to cost $20,000. And, you know, let's face it, the band's not going to pay that. So we're just going to see what the next step is and go from there. But album number two is definitely going to happen, I'd say, December of this year.
Now, as far as this upcoming Death Dealer album that you guys are going to be coming out with, if you had to compare it, this third album that's going to be coming out to the second album that you guys had just put on, Hallowed Ground, you know, how would it compare to those? And even maybe the first one. Does it sound like the first one?
Well, they are very different albums. The first album, I'd like to say, it was more of a statement album, really, of, you know, this is how fast and powerful a band can be. You know, and there were a few moments on there where things slowed down, but the first album was like 220 beats a minute power thrash, and it definitely served its purpose. We knew live that it would kill, and when we played Moscow and places like that, where people had not even heard, like the album wasn't even out, and we played, you know, a few arena dates and support, and we saw the reaction from people live, and it was pretty cool. There was an idea for the second album to make it a little wider, you know, bring in some orchestral stuff, which I love writing stuff like that, and, you know, some more nylon acoustic kind of intros from Ross, because he's an incredible flamenco player as well. So it opened up a lot more scope for the second album to kind of show what we're about, and certainly I think those first two albums, you do find people that go, man, I prefer the aggression of the first album, but much like what you were saying, you know, people go, well, there's a little bit more maturity in the songwriting on the second album. What's the third album? It's really a blend, man. Like, it's not, there's not as much orchestral work, actually, for me, no orchestral work on this new album. You know, Sean and I are massive King Diamond fans. Sean's obviously playing in Dennis Sherman, so, you know, there's a couple of little moments that give a bit of a nod to King. You know, I'm absolutely obsessed with the album then. So there's those kinds of moments, I think, on this new album. There's a lot of speed. Sean really directed the tempo of a lot of this album, and it's heads down power thrash again, but I think we're bringing a little bit more of the melodicism out of that second album for the third. So it's a bit of a blend, but probably more towards the first album.
Stu, you have a very large guitar collection. And, you know, talk a bit about, I know you're a big collector of guitars, and tell everybody, what are some of your favorite guitars that you like to use? And, you know, I know you have a lot of really cool looking ESPs, and talk about your collection for a minute.
Sure, mate. Well, look, I've been collecting guitars since I was young, and at any given time, there's around about 30 to 35 that kind of rotate via trades and sales and whatnot. And there's a core few that will always stay with me to the grave. And, you know, ESP, I've had a long relationship with ESP. We go back about 15 years directly with the Japanese company itself, and I know the people who work there, and they've always been super supportive. You know, I stick with companies that stick by me, and they're great live tools. If I need a guitar anywhere in the world, it's waiting for me. So, but as far as my collection goes, I've probably got around about 20-25 ESPs at the moment, all ranging from sort of mid-80s stuff. I'm looking at one because I'm in the studio now. I'm looking at one that was a gift from Ross, the boss himself. He bought it in 86, I think it was, from one of the custom shops, and he gifted that to me, which is pretty special. I'm a massive George Lynch fan, so I kind of collected all of his actual ESP models, which was pretty cool. And I've sold a few off so I can buy Les Pauls, because I've got 11 Les Paul Customs in front of me at the moment. So, yeah, man, I love them. It's an obsession when you're a guitar player. You just want more and more and more, and I work hard at that. So... Yeah.
No, I think it's really cool.
I think Tony, is, look, honestly, for me, dude, none of these are going to sit behind glass. They're all paintbrushes, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They all sound different. They all give me something different. And when I'm walking down here, you know, on a weekend, and I'm looking at writing, I'll stand there for a few minutes and go, right, what's the right tool for the job? And,
Right.
Yeah, I got guitars here that are worth $8,000. But when friends come over, they pick them up because, then again, there's no point in having these beautiful guitars if you don't play them or pick them up or tour them.
Right.
Now, you guys go, I'd never tour my 57 reissue Les Paul Custom. Well, I'm going to tour the goddamn thing. I don't care. That's what it was built for. Like, the person that built it didn't build it, so it goes behind glass. So,
right.
Play those babies.
You know, you kind of collect guitars like I collect cameras, and I feel the same way about my camera collection that I shoot with on a regular basis.
Well, mate, I think it may be the same with camera gear, and I don't really know it at all, so you can educate me. But at the end of the day, right now is the best time to play guitar, because mm-hmm. you can take $500, and with $500, you can buy a world-class instrument that you could play in front of 50,000 people. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I'm not a brand snob. I'll play LTDs. I'll play Gibson Epiphones. I don't care, as long as it's built well. And the guitars that are coming out of even China now, the quality control is there. You know, sometimes they need very, very minor upgrades, maybe pickups or something like that. But that's the beauty of the guitar world at the moment, is I have some beautiful guitars, don't get me wrong, but you know, I teach a lot, and I'm telling the kids, you know, don't worry about spending $6,000 on a Les Paul. Go and, you know, wisely spend your money on a nice secondhand ESP or something like that, and you can get those now for $500-$600. So
yeah.
It's a great time to be a guitarist.
So this Night Legion album, you know, If you had to compare this to other stuff that you've done in the past, other projects, other bands, you know, what does this music sound like? What does this Night Legion band sound like in comparison to, say, Dungeon or Death Dealer or any of the other bands that you've been a part of?
Well, mate, this is, we'd love to get more material out there, but as mentioned, with the label conversations, we just have to keep it as much of it under wraps as possible. But, you know, how does it sound? It sounds kind of like a hybrid between Halloween and Primal Fear. You know, there's a really good example. It's aggressive. It's powerful. Vo has a very similar voice to Tim from Dungeon. He has his own thing, there's no doubt, but he, being a big fan of that era, has carried some of that through, and I've had a few people I've previewed the album to say to me, man, if I closed my eyes, I would have thought that was Dungeon, which for me is a great compliment. That band, you know, was a great band and did some great things, and we wrote some great music. So, you know, it's the thing that I brought to Dungeon, like Dungeon was a fully active band prior to me joining, and I don't know for those that may not know the band. Very successful in Australia before, you know, I had anything to do with the band. They were huge here. And so when I joined, you know, I started bringing in some of my writing style. And Tim has this incredible way of writing really great, big kind of 80s style melodies and all that kind of thing. I bring a lot more aggression to the riffing. So I'm a thrash guy. You know, it's worth mentioning. I'm a Bay Area thrash dude. You know, I love, as in love it. I didn't come from there, but that was my bread and butter, you know, Testament, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I really wanted to infuse some of the thrash into that music and the power and aggression into the power. So that's kind of what I've still brought with Night Legion. I haven't tried to write Dungeon stuff because I don't have to try. It's kind of part of who I am. So, yeah, man, we got 9 originals. There's, you know, big choruses in them. It's all big, catchy kind of stuff, but aggressive and powerful at the same time. And then, you know, I've tried to amp up the shred on this album a little bit too. I've had a few people say to me, I've slowed down in my old age. So I've tried to, you know, dig deep and just go, right, close the eyes and engage the Ferrari and see what happens.
Speaking of some of the old Dungeon stuff, have you ever thought about reissuing some of that stuff at all?
Yeah, look, this is a I'll give you some controversy, I guess, but it's no secret between the parties. Look, when I left Dungeon, Tim decided to fold the band. Now, it's his band. He had the right to do whatever the hell he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
He formed a band called Lord that has gone on to do great things, and they're a great band. The guys are great. This is all true, and I actually really like the albums. But they're not Dungeon albums. They're a lot lighter. It's a different kind of thing. So, look, it's very hard. It's hard to go back and create something that I still think was right at the time. So there's nothing I would go back and redo. But Tim approached me about doing reissuing the albums. With him recording them all, and I was totally into it. Now, we've had some problems over the years, all the dirt that people want to dig up, whatever, it's cool. But I just thought, look, man, let's bury the hatchet. I was proud that he approached me as a friend, and let's do it. But he wanted to release it under the Lord banner and call it Lord the Dungeon Years. Now, he did end up doing that. I just told him I didn't want to have any part of it because it's not Lord, it's Dungeon. And I still say that to this day. So I didn't have anything to do with that. Now, I've since listened to that recently, and the truth of the matter is I think he did a goddamn good job. And the guitar player he's got, I've always respected, always liked the guy. And he's a better guitarist than I am. He does crazy stuff that I could never do. So I think Tim ended up doing a damn good job. You know, at the end of the day, is it better than the original? I don't think it is. And I think it's like trying to recreate something that was great in the first place. So for me, I it's not something I would think to do unless I was doing a cash grab, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
If we signed the rights away, well, let's re-record this album and make some money. And that's the only reason that I think... That kind of thing would surface, but we had some good times, and you know it all finished. So
basically, what you're telling me is that he re-recorded all the old songs, or a bunch of them at least.
Yeah, look, for your listeners, if you're interested, go and check out an album. It's called Lord the Dungeon Years. You know, none of those songs, you know, when they were recorded or performed, featured any of the members of Lord except for Tim. So it's kind of weird that's why I just didn't understand that whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But he did ask me to do it. Don't get me wrong. He didn't shut the door. I just didn't want to have a bar of it with the Lord thing. So, Yeah, look, check it out. It sounds fantastic. You know, he's a great producer, and his voice is better than ever. So, a lot of those materials are out there.
So, Stu, my last question for you: do you have any last words for the fans that will be checking out this interview?
Well, look, the first thing I've got to say to all your listeners is this guy, Mr. Webster, he's one of the greatest voices on the planet. And mate, I was blessed to work with you on Empires, and I really want to work with you in the future on some other things. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you've got coming up. But yeah, look, please drop by. Facebook is the place to go. You know, I don't even know if people use websites anymore. just look up Night Legion Metal.
Yep.
Night Legion Metal. We're putting up videos and all exclusive stuff there all the time. We've got a brand new merchandise package coming out, which is just going to destroy. It's going to be awesome. So we've decided that's the only place we're putting our information up. So if you really want to know anything about the band, check out Night Legion Metal. And stay tuned. You know, if people like the stuff, that's fantastic. And research the material that you and I put together over the years. So, yeah.